Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture podcast in the universe, in the galaxy, in the multiverse, in the Speed Force, in the Spider-Verse. It is the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the good brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. How's it going, good brother?
Good, what's going on?
Everything appears to be everything, good brother. And on today's episode, we continue on the video game road. What do you have in store for us today?
So we already did the Nintendo characters. So today we're going to go over my favorite video game franchise. We're going to do the Mortal Kombat franchise, and we are going to pick our top five favorite characters throughout the 11 games.
That's right, good brother. It is the best damn fighting series in all of video games. Has the best damn soundtrack in all of video games. And we are going to talk about the best damn characters. What made you pick Mortal Kombat of all the video games? Not Street Fighters, not Super Smash Brothers, but the most violent one of them all.
It's a game we had growing up, and we constantly had it throughout every single series. So we continued to play it throughout from Super Nintendo with 1 and 2 and then 3. And then the arcade, and then 64, GameCube, and so forth into the current generation of games. It's definitely something that it's my favorite video game for the pure fact. It's got a great story. It's easily pick-upable. And it's something I've been able to enjoy for my entire life. It's something I've beaten you at all the time. Fighting games are definitely my forte. They're the games I enjoy playing the most.
I love fighting games. I don't agree necessarily with you always winning the fights, but that's a conversation for a different day. And it is time to start off this conversation, one of the greatest franchises in all of video games. Let's talk about our top five Mortal Kombat characters. And I will start off with my number five, and that is the main character himself, Liu Kang. Now, the only reason I'll start off with why he isn't higher on my list, I think out of all the characters in this entire series, he's the one that suffered the most throughout the years. He was a very generic good guy. And, like, he is very cool. You know, when you compare him to, like, Ryu and Ken and some of these other characters that are the generic karate, taekwondo champion and martial artist, you know, he kind of is a tier above them. And especially when we started seeing a lot of, like, the more implementations of the dragon and the monk and all this whatnot. But over the years, especially around Armageddon or Deadly Alliance when they kill him off, you could kind of tell that he took this really weird backdrop in the character, and then they went a different direction. I think just because of that, even though he has a really cool character design, even though you could tell all the inspiration of Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee, I think he suffers a little bit because of how they treated him in those weird in-between years. But he does have a lot of good as a character, and obviously him being one of the main guys in the entire series helps out in kind of having his redemption in MK11. I think Liu Kang is an awesome fighting character. I think Liu Kang is an awesome Mortal Kombat character, and that's why I have him in at number five.
I completely agree with you. I think a peek behind the curtain, we're both very much into Mortal Kombat lore. I would consider us pundits at this point with its history, its lore, outside of the video game, just Mortal Kombat in general. I completely agree. I think he starts off well enough, and then in that middle series, they kind of lose focus with him. They're doing a great job the last game, kind of bringing him back to the forefront, but I definitely agree with you. He definitely misses a lot between those four or five games right there in the middle when he's a zombie, and then they bring him back, and before you're allowed to play with him as again. then he turns right back into a Revenant. So he's had a hard journey as a character. I do like where he's left, though.
So then who did you have as your number five good brother?
I had Nightwolf, and Nightwolf is more of a selfish pick. I love playing as him. He's a very fun character because he's from one of the Outer Realms, and he's a Native American character with these cool green magic glowing weapons. He's got cool face paint. He's a warrior chief. He's one of Raiden's top fighters in the newer games, like the middle series. He's an Earthrealm defender. I don't know. There's something cool about him. He's very warrior-ass. He's very brutal and very wise, especially in the story mode. So Nightwolf would be my number five.
I love Nightwolf. He has such a cool character design. I think they, for it being, because, you know, in video games, it's really easy for caricatures and especially racial stereotypes to get kind of out of hand. I think MK did a really cool job of, like, this is the coolest version of a badass Native American we can make in this universe. And he had a lot of cool moves, and he had a decent move set. He has kind of taken a step back as well in the newer, especially the new Netherrealm versions of the game. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of the turmoil that's going on with Native Americans and representation and whatnot. But I think for a character of that time, you know, when we're talking about things like in Street Fighter, with some of these characters that, you know, are depicting people from India and the jungle and whatnot, I think Nightwolf is if you're going to look for something that's kind of in the middle and kind of acceptable, I think he's the closest it gets to that.
No, yeah, I completely agree.
And with that in mind, I go on to my number four good brother, and that is the movie star himself, Johnny Cage. You talk about one who, on the opposite end of Liu Kang, came out very general in the beginning, right? Kind of a ripoff of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Hell, that's kind of where the premise of his character comes from, right? But then you see, over the years, the movies make him a focal point of this entire series. And then we have one of the worst movies in the second one, but they kill him off. And a lot of people get mad because they didn't realize how much they love Johnny Cage. Then he evolves into this douchebag, you know, prima donna character, especially in the early 2000s to mid-2000s when that's what kind of reality television was at its peak. They implemented that into him. But they always kind of kept his badassery still there. And then in this latest series, you see him grow into what the modern day hero is when it comes to that. The modern day Ryan Reynolds character, where it's this goofball, lovable charmer who gets away with everything that becomes a leader. And it's actually much more important to the story. And I don't know what it was that made him decide to make Liu Kang the backseat over these years and give that forefront to Johnny Cage. But I think as a character, as a fighting character, as a video game character, it's very dynamic, and he's had a really interesting character growth over the last 15 years. That's why I have Johnny Cage at number four.
The story of Johnny Cage is fascinating because, like you said, he goes the first two games normal, gets killed off in the third one just to be brought back, and now in the more recent games, in NetherRealm games, we see that he actually has a sort of, they explain his power away and that he has this courage and he becomes this military man and this family man, and he has the, I think, the best arc out of all the old original 6 to 8 characters.
Now, who came in at number four for you, good brother?
I had Kung Lao, and Kung Lao was my personal favorite in Mortal Kombat 3. And he has the cool hat. It's the spinny spiral hat. I actually did enjoy Shaolin Monks, Liu Kang, and Kung Lao. The reason I picked Kung Lao is because I think there's a little more meat on the character of being the second to Liu Kang. His ancestor specifically was one of the best warriors, getting killed off by Goro. His rivalry with Goro in general is very interesting. And the fact that he, in some parts, is a better warrior than Liu Kang, but never really got the attention from Raiden. And there's a very interesting dynamic with the three of them. I like his moveset. I like his hat, obviously. And I think him being so vulnerable and yet so strong and playing second fiddle to Liu Kang makes him a much more interesting and better character.
So it's interesting you bring in Kung Lao, because in the beginning, when I was younger, I always thought Kung Lao was a ripoff of Raiden. And I really didn't know any better. I was younger when these games came out, the original ones. And then over time, Shaolin Monks, shout out to you, great game on PlayStation. And it was the beginning when we really saw the bromance of Liu Kang and Kung Lao. And then in the new NetherRealm games, especially MK9, MK10, MK11, you really see that bondship growing. You see a lot of that heartache that Kung Lao as a character, knowing that he's a descendant of one of the greatest warriors around, knowing that he's one of the greatest fighters in this entire universe that's built of great warriors, and yet he's always second fiddle to Liu Kang. And but there's this weird justice to it that even Liu Kang in this universe, the whole idea of prophets and the chosen ones really isn't anything. So I think it's a very interesting dynamic between those two characters, and you know, I think they've done justice finally to them in the modern day video games.
Yeah, what also makes him interesting is that he brings out an interesting story with Raiden and Liu Kang separately. So in general, him being just himself brings out a better version of Liu Kang, a more concerned version of Raiden, a Raiden second-guessing himself throughout all his decisions. And I think that's what makes him so interesting, is he brings out a layer to these other characters.
And speaking of the God of Thunder himself, he is my number three, Raiden. From the character design, to the story arc, to the way he holds the room, to Christopher Lambert playing him in a movie, it's one of these characters that has really, you know, stead the test of time when it comes to video games. And it's really cool because in mythology, we can kind of associate him a lot of different things over every era of religion and every era of society. And that's why he almost seems kind of real in a way. Raiden, to me, even though he's the one with the electrical powers and he's an elder god and whatnot, he's the only one that seems comes from the real world, because he seems like something people would have worshipped at a given time. Some tribe, some monks, some, you know, Nordic warrior Vikings. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought that was one thing about Raiden. Then we talk about his story arc, how complicated it gets from being a god to being the bad guy to being a protector to not being able to get involved in a lot of these stories. And I always thought that there was something kind of like a Morpheus to Raiden. And I think that's what makes him such a great character. And then if you're just talking about playing him in the video game, once you've gotten down whatever MK game you're playing at that given time, and you could finally master Raiden, you literally feel like an untouchable monster in a Mortal Kombat game. That's why I have him in at number three.
Raiden's definitely cool. He looks cool. His powers are cool. He's an idiot. I think a lot of the bad stuff that happens is due to Raiden's ignorance of understanding his own universe. So that's why I didn't personally put him in my top five. He's definitely cool. He's the easiest one to transfer out to other video games and still seem legit, even more so than Liu Kang. He's almost, I feel like him and Scorpion are definitely the mascots of it. Those are the two most recognizable characters.
What came in at number three for the good brother?
So my number three actually was a throwback to Johnny Cage. And the only thing I really didn't get to say earlier was the journey with him is the true hero's journey. I don't think we see that with Liu Kang because we lose so much in the middle there. I think with Johnny Cage, we get a true redemption story, a true rise to the, you know, rise to the top story of how his powers come about from saving Sonya and him having a daughter and him still liking to act, but at the same time working with the military for peace with these other realms. And like you said, still keeping a charm to him and a humor to him. And at the end of the day, even from part one, he's always been a hero. That's one thing you can always say, like, no matter how bad he got, he was always a hero. And I think that's important that they maintain throughout all the games. And it shows even more in newer games. I think we've seen his arc really come to an end in this new game, and we're going to kind of focus on more of the newer characters, plus Liu Kang, I believe, taking over that Raiden spot.
And it's going to be fascinating to see how much of MK12 is going to be influenced by MK11 if they go down the route that they did at the end of that one. And if you missed any part of MK11, if you didn't get a chance to play it, you guys can check out my full playthrough of MK11 on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. I agree with you. I think Johnny Cage is amazing. I think he fits well with every character. He's a great avatar for the player. I think that's one thing. Even though he's a superstar all this, for the most part, he felt kind of like the Chris Pratt of the Marvel Universe, you know?
Exactly. There's something simple to him, even though he's supposed to be this actor, that in this universe of monsters and hitmen and special agents and, you know, kung fu masters, that he is you. He's the most normal version that you would get in a Mortal Kombat, beside like a Striker or something. He's the most, not only the most fun to watch, but the most relatable to watch through these games.
At number two, good brother, I have one that might surprise you, because growing up, for the most part, he would have been my number one. But over the last few years, that's changed. And at number two, I have Sub-Zero. Now, I'm talking about both of them, the older brother and the younger brother. character design alone, he's badass. There's only two really cool color template ninjas in MK, and I know where they're going to be on this list for us. When it comes to Sub-Zero, he just looks cool. His moveset is awesome. There's always something great about elemental type of powers and the fact that they look like cool ninjas on top of it. But the story arc, the fact that you have the first one, the brother that gets accused of killing Scorpion's family. And then you have the brother that wants to bring redemption between both tribes of Scorpion and Sub-Zero, the Lin Kuei and the Shirai Ryu. I think there's something great about those two. And the fact that it's so impactful for a nerd like me to be able to pull those two names of, you know, fictional tribes of Asia. And there's levity and there's importance between the characters of Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I think the difference is Sub-Zero has not had the same amount of growth as his counterpart, but his levity is important. What Sub-Zero, no matter who the voice actor is, no matter what the character design is, no matter what the costume is, when he shows up on screen, it's important. Everything slows down. You listen. You pay attention. Things get real. You can't say that about a lot of characters in video games. You can't say a lot about a lot of characters in pop culture and entertainment. You know, when Batman walks into a room in any type of medium, everything kind of changes. That's the same thing with Sub-Zero, and that's why I have him at number two.
To me, Sub-Zero is the biggest, I wouldn't say waste, he is the most miswritten character between the Dragon Medallion and the Cyborg program, and Quinley and Quamley, which one's real Sub-Zero, and then Cyber Sub-Zero, and then Frost, and then the Cyborg Sub-Zero. It's just, there's so much in there that they didn't need to do. He's so miswritten. There, you know, I think there was enough there, and it just kind of got out of hand. And they've done a much better job in the last three games, kind of bringing it back a notch, kind of keeping it more of a simple form, separating the Cyborg program a little bit more, which was a big help for Sub-Zero, because I think that was a huge detour that the character didn't need. I like where they're going with him now. Obviously, Scorpion speaks for himself. That's the best thing about Sub-Zero is that he does fight Scorpion. But even to see their friendship form now is very interesting, and to see, I think he will be a bigger character going into Mortal Kombat 12. But I do think they've very badly miswritten for him over the years.
So who is your number two Mortal Kombat character, good brother?
My number two is Goro, and Goro to me is, he's very misunderstood. He's, you know, he's a prince from Medania, and, you know, his people got ran out, obviously, because of the way they look, and then he started working in Netherrealm for, you know, he works for some of the demon gods for a little bit, him and his people, and then they eventually became henchmen for Shao Kahn, and he was very badly mistreated. But obviously, the reason I pick him, he looks the coolest. He's everything you want in an original henchman. He's got these four huge arms, this huge torso, this badass ponytail, all this armor. He's just cool. He's a cool big monster. And it was so impressive to me to see a bad guy like that as a child being like, wow, like this is what a bad guy is supposed to look like. So, you know, Goro made it so high up, I think, just off his look. But as I got older, his story is very interesting, being the prince of his people and, you know, him being a decent, you know, yes, he's a monster, but he's a warrior nonetheless, just like all these fighters. He just happened to pick the wrong side. And then you see in the modern games that Outrealm's going through a civil war. And now you see Shiva take over his people. And it's just a really cool relationship that he does have. And obviously, the fact that he looks the way he does is the reason he's my number two.
I can't say it any better. And you've hit it on the nail on the head. There's never been a more intimidating, badass, bad guy design ever in video games, period. When Goro came up and you saw that icon when he went up the tower, you knew you were in for a fight in the best type of ways. You knew your anxiety went up just a little bit more. Your palms got a little bit more sweaty. And even though it was just this little claymation character, he looked real, and he looked badass, and his character in the Mortal Kombat movie is amazing. And to this day, when you play him in any new modern-day game, you still get a little intimidated by him. I love Goro. I think that's one of the greatest character designs in all of video game history. But, good brother, we get to my number one pick in my top five Mortal Kombat list, and it's none other than Hanzo Hasashi himself, Scorpion.
It's the same. We both have Scorpion, and I'm very surprised because you were always a Sub-Zero fan growing up, and I always thought that made you kind of a punk, which it does. And, you know, I've always used Scorpion, and I think it's very interesting. I really want to hear why he took your number one instead of Sub-Zero.
So when originally it started for us, we've always been a Mortal Kombat family. We've been playing all the games from the GameCube, the 64, you know, all the way up till now. We've played all of them. And when it originally started, I really just enjoyed the elemental powers of Sub-Zero. I liked his character design a little bit more. I liked his sword more. I connected to his gameplay. It wasn't until I really got a chance to enjoy the story, and they invested more in the story when it went from Midway to NetherRealm. When you learn about the tragic story that is Scorpion, this warrior that loses his family and is then going to hell and fights his way from hell to get this sorcerer from hell power and gets revenge only to find out that it was all a lie and the person who gave him the power was the person who took his family. And now he's on a redemption story to not only make peace with the tribe that he killed their leader of, but to also do right by his family and to cleanse his soul. And I think MK11 did the best job of it not being so superficial. For the longest time, Scorpion was just cool for being cool's sake, for having a skull, for being on fire, for having a cool costume, for say, get over here, you know, and the badass commercials. Like, we get it. That was superficial. But they went deep, and they made this character mean something. They gave him a name. You know, in 1994, nobody knew who Hanzo Hasashi was. In the video game world, people know that name now, because of how invested and how important Scorpion is, not just to MK, but to video games. And that happened because it's a grounded story in reality that has a sense of history to it and poetry. And I don't think you get that in Ryu or in Ken. That's why Scorpion's my number one.
Scorpion's story of redemption and just his character arc is, I agree with you, not only one of the best story in Mortal Kombat, but one of the best told stories in video games in general. There's a reason that they started to put Scorpion in the forefront in the last, let's say, six games, honestly. It's NetherRealm's main logo is Scorpion. It's the movie character, their first movie they put out. They've even retold the story of Mortal Kombat 1 and 1 to be more of Scorpion won the tournament. Liu Kang's kind of getting ready for Shao Kahn. When it came to Goro and when it came to that first one, well, that's more Scorpion fighting as an anti-hero. He's one of the best anti-heroes we've seen. He reminds you of a Deadpool, of a Kratos, of a Punisher. He's just, there's something so likable about him because of the tragic story he had to live through and his redemption and almost his tranquility that he shows in the newer games. There's nothing bad about it. And again, easy thing here, he looks cool. He has a skull and fire powers. He has these chains. He has the get over here slogan that's known everywhere. He's got the yellow and black. He's named after a terrifying insect, a scorpion. There is really nothing wrong with this character. Like, this is everything done right times two.
And it's so important to mention when it comes to this realm of conversation, you can't say Scorpion without Sub-Zero. You can't say Sub-Zero without Scorpion. And there's something magical to that. You know, you can't say Mario without Luigi. You can't say Batman without Joker. Superman without Lex Luthor. Like, there becomes this connection. And Scorpion Sub-Zero, it's not Shao Kahn, Liu Kang. It's not Quan Chi, Liu Kang. It's not Johnny Cage versus Kano. It's this. It's Sub-Zero versus Scorpion.
Yeah, and he brings up Sub-Zero's story. Like, he's, again, I don't really enjoy Sub-Zero the way they told the story. The only parts you do end up enjoying are the Scorpion parts and where the relationship now is in the Mortal Kombat 11 games going forward.
Good, brother. This was a lot of fun. I think you could tell in the tone of our voice, in the type of conversation we had, how important Mortal Kombat is to us. I mean, kind of a personal story. This is a great chance to put it in audio and for it to live forever. Our father used to play MK2 with us back in the day, and that cheap man that he is, where you get a lot of your traits from, would go to the corner of a screen and just push down B or whatever the combination was for Baraka and just do the spikes to do them up and down. And you can never do anything, but he sure got a kick out of it.
Yeah, that is one of the earliest memories I have. And like I said, it's a game that we've never not gotten one since Mortal Kombat 2, which to some people is the real number one, very much like the Mario Brothers stance where, yeah, there was one, but number three really brought it all together, and then number three changed the game. I have so many memories, and we just kept getting them from system to system. And, you know, like I said, the only current video games I do play nowadays is the Injustice series and the Mortal Kombat series.
With that in mind, good brother, why don't we run down our top fives, and then we can have a quick, fun little conversation on some notes I made. At number five, good brother, on my list, I had Liu Kang. The good brother had
Nightwolf.
At number four, I had Johnny Cage. The good brother had
Kung Lao.
At number three, I had Raiden. The good brother had
Johnny Cage.
At number two, I had Sub-Zero. The good brother came with
Prince Goro.
And at number one, our pick in our top five Mortal Kombat fighters is
Scorpion.
Good brother, what a fun list. How about some honorable mentions really fast? I had Goro and Shao Kahn. And simply put, it's intimidation. They scared the hell out of me as a kid. I hated playing against them. I still hate playing against them. They're still super hard. It doesn't matter what game they're at. It doesn't matter what level you're on. It doesn't matter how many years you've been playing. They're still crazy bad guys with awesome designs. How amazing is Shao Kahn, by the way? We didn't really talk about him, but as a character design, the big sledgehammer, the crown, the nails, even his new design of MK11. I love Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn was actually my honorable mention. I think he's one of the greatest video game villains we've ever seen to this day, even. He stands the test of time, and he only gets harder. He's one of the actual legit hard boss battles that we see in modern video games. And I even like that his new half-dragon look, because he is technically a descendant of dragons. Yeah, Shao Kahn's up there, Liu Kang definitely, and like you said, Baraka's definitely a personal favorite with Reptile also.
They have such a great roster. We could literally go all day just picking characters that we like from this series. And there's been some misses, but I think for the most parts, when MK11 hits on a character, it sticks around and people fall in love with them, and everybody finds their favorite run, and they try to keep them forever, and that's why people get so mad when certain people don't make the roster. But I absolutely love the MK roster. I think it's one of the strongest in all of fighting games.
Exactly. A fighting game's never going to keep the exact same roster every time. And you got to think, Mortal Kombat's put on almost 100 characters. The fact that they have a majority of those characters are memorable, and you keep recycling and bringing them back, and you've made them part of these clans and these outworlds, I think it speaks for the writing. And yeah, there is some misses, but though, even those misses get interesting backstories in some. Like I said, we make fun of Striker, but he has a fascinating story, and Cabal and Kano. There's a lot of people we haven't mentioned that do have interesting stories and look cool and play well.
I mean, when we were kids, some of the most popular ones were the three robots, the three cyborgs that came out, and they had the awesome color palette in them. They were almost the new ninjas of the next generation of MK3 moving forward. There were a lot of great characters that we got over the years, and Noob Saibot, Smoke, we got Ermac. There's a lot of great characters that
Cyrex.
Great characters that we got over the years, and we didn't mention Jax. What do you think about Jax? That's one that I always feel is either you love him or you hate him.
I like Jax. Jax is really cool. I like Sonya Blade. I like Katana. I like Melina. Like you said, there's just so many characters. I like Bo Raichu. Bo Raichu definitely was almost someone I consider just for the pure fun that he is. And he also has a very Kill Bill vibe of who is this drunken bastard teaching these masters. So there's a lot of really cool characters that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
We didn't even talk about Shang Tsung.
I also like Onaga. Onaga is one of the coolest bad guys we've seen. And we've seen him in one video game.
Can we both agree, though, that Shinnok sucks?
Yeah, Shinnok's definitely the least favorite. He was at N64 stage, and I kind of liked him in Mortal Kombat 10 because I thought that it was a bad guy that we all kind of skipped, because that's when people started skipping a little bit of the Mortal Kombat, especially our family. You know, not a lot of people were buying the GameCube versions or the PS3 version or the Xbox version. Like, it really wasn't until Part 9 when they rebooted it a bit. It didn't really come back to that view, and Shinnok was definitely the beginning part of that. And then they started combining villains, and it just, you could tell they were running out of ideas.
Now, good brother, I want to hit on this really fast. Let's bring a little normalcy to the Good Brothers while we're doing the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on Mercado Airwaves Network with the Good Brothers, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado. We just got a chance to see Mortal Kombat Legends, Scorpion's Revenge. What did you think about it, and how are you feeling after you got to see one hell of a ride by Warner Brothers Animation?
It was fantastic. It has that very much the modern DC vibe that they have going for them, which you and me both love. It, like I said, it's the retelling of that first video game, that first tournament. We see most of the classic characters from that video game. And I love the way they set it up, because you can definitely tell that in the next year or two, they're going to really make the part two, the part three, and then leading into all those craziness like the Armageddon.
Totally agree. I loved it. I love the violence. I love the voice acting. I love the character design. I love the fact that Warner Brothers put some money into this. I'm super excited that people care about Mortal Kombat again. And there's been enough time. There's a generation that's grown up with it, that there's a lot of TLC with it as well when it comes to these properties. So I highly suggest you guys check it out if you haven't yet. It's a must watch. Mortal Kombat Legends, Scorpion's Revenge. Good brother, before we head out, what is then, let's put your feet to the fire, what is your favorite Mortal Kombat game?
I'd have to say Mortal Kombat 9, because it was a small reboot. It was one of the only video games I had in college, actually, so we played the hell out of that game. It introduced the story mode again, beside the actual just climbing the tournament ranks. It was actual story. It was well put. They figured out they had so much that it was easier to go backwards and revamp it a little bit than keep adding more at the time. So that's definitely my favorite, and it had one of the biggest rosters.
So funny, it is my favorite game as well. I spent so many hours in college playing it as well. I had a wonderful time with my friends playing it. It was a reintroduction for us. The last time we had played, it was for GameCube and the N64. So there, it wasn't necessarily that much in our memory, because we had gone through a whole entire generation with it. But I love the character design. I love the gameplay. And to be honest with you, MK10 and MK11 have been phenomenal. And the fact that they have given birth to Injustice 1 and 2, and what's going to be Injustice 3 later on this year, if not early next year, I think we owe a lot in the video game community as fans to this series. And I think MK9 really started up this new generation of like Street Fighter 4 and the new Capcom versus Marvel and all these new Killer Instincts and Tenkens that we're getting in was the success and the Marvel that was MK9.
Exactly. I think because it's so many years later, we tend to forget that was the game that brought back fighting games, honestly. Obviously, you had Smash Brothers and your foreign titles, but this really brought back that fighting style, and we've gotten almost 7 new style of video games from it.
Well, it's ours. Mortal Kombat is ours. Like, you know, all video games are all of ours. Like, that's the beauty of it. Just like movies, it's universal. But this is bred and born here in the United States.
Chicago,
Midway, NetherRealm. Like, this is our grassroots. Capcom is great. It's probably maybe my favorite right by Nintendo, right under Nintendo when it comes to video game companies. But Capcom is, you know, Japanese. And they make great video games. Midway and NetherRealms. Mortal Kombat was built here in America. This is our grit. We wanted blood. There's nothing more American than the first MK. And, you know, it's a little nostalgic and it's dorky, but that's what's kind of cool about it. That's his cheekiness to it is, yeah, French fries, pizza, rock and roll, American pie, and Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. There's something very simple about it that it's grown so much, and it's such a part of our pop culture nowadays, and it's crazy to see where it began to where it is now.
From the arcade machines to our video game consoles to Evil to ESPN, Mortal Kombat has made such an impact, not only in the video game world, but our little lives, good brother. And I appreciate you for making this our list. Thank you so much. What did you think about our top 5 MK characters?
It was fantastic, and I think it's going to be even better that we have a movie coming out, so hopefully in the next year or two, we're going to get more news on the live-action Mortal Kombat movie.
And you guys can find out all the news when it comes to the Mortal Kombat movie and everything that's pop culture and entertainment by following us all over social media. The Good Brothers on Twitter, at Mercado21Alex, and on Instagram, at Mercado2121. I'm at Mike M Media, and on Instagram, at Mike Mercado Media. You can like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. Like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcasts at Mercado Airwaves. It really helps us out grow the brand. So please do us that huge favor. This was a fun episode. Thank you guys so much. Please take care of each other. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers, here on the Mercado Airwaves
Network.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.